Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, Rambleforce. Here we are once again. It's the Football Ramble, ladies and gentlemen. Lovely to have you back. You'll be pleased to know that I have a full set of Ramblers with me. Pete's here.
Hello.
James or Jim is here.
Hello.
And Big Lukey Moore is here.
All right.
I feel privileged. I said your surname.
Yeah, thank you very much.
That's all right. Gentlemen, I'm going to start with an email from Andrew Beck, or A Beck, as I'd like to call him. He said that I was listening to the one of the latest rambles on the train home and heard that Phil Brown had been sacked as Hull City manager. I was surprised to find out that Ian Dowie had been appointed as manager.
Well, temporary football management consultant, actually.
Right. Well, he thought Megson would have been a dead cert. This led me to ponder, who do you think has been the worst manager in the Premier League? Ian Dowie has to be up there.
Give him a chance.
Cheers, keep on rambling. Well, he's managed before.
Yeah, of course, yeah. And he lost his first game to Portsmouth.
Yeah. And he relegated Newcastle, didn't he? Yeah. As a part of a team.
Also, he did very, very poorly at Charlton, but he did well with Palace.
That's right.
For a bit.
Yeah.
Who are you going for, Luke?
I shall probably go for... there are a number of candidates, I should say, but I will probably go
there
for...
There are a number of candidates.
Christian Gross I'm going to go
classic.
For.
Classic.
For a couple of reasons. One, because he turned up to the press conference with that tube ticket.
Yeah!
Saying, didn't he say, I hope this is a tube ticket to all my Premier League dreams or something?
Oh, is that what he said?
Yeah, something weird.
Doesn't like even understand the game. It's incredible.
Yeah, exactly.
Let alone the transport.
How you travel to the game is nothing to do with it.
They probably have some private car hire for him or something.
Well, you
coach
hope so.
Even.
Yeah.
He's doing quite well, is he not? At the
he's doing really well at the moment, but I mean, in terms of Premier League.
Alan Sugar said at that press conference afterwards, years later, he said, when he pulled out that tube ticket, he was like, oh my, what have I done?
Yeah. Nice. The other thing was that.
Get Margaret to fill his managerial position.
Yeah, Margaret and Nick.
Yeah.
I think I'm right in saying they got spanked about 6-1 their first home game. It's Chelsea. Yeah, I think so. Under Gross. And the other thing I was thinking of was, and people have said this before, is that Spurs blatantly just got him because Arsenal had Wenger. It was like, yeah, we're going to get this really thinking man.
They were talking him like that, weren't they? They were saying, he is our answer to Arsene Wenger.
He's got an egghead, he must be intelligent, all that sort of stuff. And obviously it went horribly wrong. But my honourable mention goes to Les Reed at Charlton as well. Mm. But he was only there for about 10 minutes, so I can't really choose him.
James or Jim?
Well, it is a tough one to call because there are so many candidates. But I think I'm going to go for Steve Wigley. He's currently at Hull, isn't he? He's the assistant manager to
Dowie.
Yeah.
Dream team.
Sorry, assistant. Absolutely, yeah. And he took over at Southampton, didn't he, shortly before they were relegated as well. And he just seems like this sort of bloke who just sort of comes into... It's almost like the captain of a sinking ship just goes, I don't want to be captain anymore. Do you want it?
Yeah,
and he just accepts it every time.
Red glass for a manager.
Yeah. I've been waiting for it all my life. I'll definitely do it.
Paul Jewell?
Yeah. Similar, in fact. But Steve Wigley sounds sillier. Yeah. For him.
And he was pretty rubbish at Southampton as well, Wigley, so fair enough.
I mean, they're not easy jobs, are they, really, that these managers get given?
Well, for the sort of money they get, it should be easy to pay.
We're taking no prisoners here, Pete. The sort of money they get. Should be winning every game.
They can't all be Alex Ferguson.
No.
Pete.
That would be imagine that. That would be horrible.
Very opinionatedly.
Every game would have like 30 minutes injury time.
Goes to be 2 hours
but
long.
But there'd be no press conferences with the BBC.
No, so it wouldn't. No.
Very true.
Every cloud.
Mm. Pete, who are you going for?
I'm going to go for a man who was handed a silver spoon in his mouth. I don't know how that...
Born with one in his mouth.
Well, he was handed it, wasn't he? So, I mean, Paul Ince. He was handed a big job.
Yeah.
Too soon, might somebody might say.
Mm. After mouthing off about how no English managers get the jobs and stuff. And
no, black English.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
No black English.
No Paul Ince's ever get the jobs.
Yeah.
And he was terrible, wasn't he? Yeah. Even when he wrote that thing down saying, shoot.
Yeah, amazing. Amazing piece of tactical advice.
Yeah.
It's weird, because you do get a lot of managers that are quite inept. Like, Dowie is a good example. He's not done brilliantly well down there. But he does seem like a nice bloke. But Ince really was a prick with it.
He was a prick when he was a player, though. I would not, even though he achieved quite a lot at as a player. I mean, it was around a very, very good team. He had a couple of very, very decent seasons. But
he was a good player, and he did well in Italy, to be fair.
He was astonishingly arrogant, though.
Yeah. He used to call himself the governor, as we've said many times before. Yeah. And also, he...
when he got sent off that time.
When he was playing at Wolves.
In the post-match interview, he goes, well, end of the day, the referee can tell his kids that he sent off Paul Ince today.
Yeah.
It's like, what? It's not all about you, pal.
Yeah. No, I think it is, though.
Kids will think, oh, well done, Dad. He's a prick.
And then Ince went back to MK Dons. I'd like to think almost quite literally with his tail between his legs. Yeah. All right, I'm back. It's like the villager. He's been to the big city for a weekend. Yeah. I'm back. What was it like? Yeah, rubbish.
That would kind of annoy me if I was an MK
more.
Dons fan. I mean, I'd be annoyed if I was an MK Dons fan. But yeah, it would annoy me him coming back and sort of. I'll pick it back up again.
There's a certain element of sort of like if it's a genuinely big sort of offer that comes in. It's like, for example, the Fulham and Roy Hodgson is doing a great job. If Capello stands down after the World Cup and Hodgson gets given the England job, the Fulham fans are going to be like, well, we can't stand in his way, you know, it's a big job.
That's right.
It's a bit. I think there's a bit of that involved.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
And then when he obviously nationally disgraced himself, he went back to MK Dons. And they're not doing too well. I mean, they had a bit of a poor result against, I think it might have been Southampton. And again, Ince came up with a load of rubbish. He said, it was recently, just this weekend, he said, if you look at it, we had 9 shots on target and they had 4 shots on target.
It's not a computer game.
Well, one, they scored 3 goals, scored none. 2, that wasn't even true. It was like, it was completely wrong. He just made it up.
Counted.
It's no argument. Well, corner count, I think you're fine.
Yeah. You get half a point for a corner.
That's right.
Could not happen to a nicer bloke. I'm sure we can all agree.
Any notable mentions?
Well, I've got to give mine.
Oh, of course, sure, yeah. Having a go.
Sorry.
See, getting you out, mate.
I'm going to go for Alan Shearer. Up yours, Pete.
Oh. In your face.
Outrageous.
Oh, yeah,
good one. I remember phoning you up, bloke, in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
Then you drunk off my face. You were in bed with your girl. Oh, dear.
Then you text me saying, I'm instantly sorry. Afterwards.
Shearer.
Yeah, rubbish.
Shearer. What do you want, Pete?
Shearer. he got interviewed recently, Shearer, and it was like, oh, would you like to go back into management? He was like, yeah, I'd love to. You sort of got to say that, haven't you?
You can't
sort of say, well, I was rubbish at it. I just think I'll give it another go.
Did you not see what happened?
It's boring. To be honest, I just wanted to play in the training, but it is shit.
But yeah, Shearer's a good one. I've obviously said Les Reed. I think he won like 1 game out of 7 and then got sacked.
We're maybe being quite harsh on these managers that have only had a few games, but it is more entertaining to pick them.
Les Reed is a coach in like a Conference South team now on a voluntary basis.
Really?
Wow. He's not even getting paid. And he was an FA like technical advisor at one stage as well.
Soonest deserves a mention as well.
Oh yeah,
because he's done very badly at a lot of clubs. He sort of took Liverpool backwards, did a bad job at Newcastle, same at Blackburn.
It was like, okay at Blackburn.
But by the end of it, they just seemed in the doldrums. You know, it was really sort of like
he's not a progressive.
He wasn't terrible at Newcastle.
It was basically a case of that. It was perceived that Robson was so lax with discipline and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, God rest his soul, that Souness was the man to instill some discipline.
Yeah.
You know, but the thing is, you can't win loads of games just with discipline.
Absolutely.
You need like tactical acumen.
And for that reason, I think that's why at all of the clubs he's been at, he gets to a certain point and then just sort of stops. It just doesn't really go any further and they get in a rut and he gets sacked.
Not only that, but in between all that, he gets involved in a massive training ground ruck with a player.
Yeah.
Because they put a massive reducer on him in training.
Have you seen when he's sort of been speaking about that before, when he's been asked about it, he's like, I've managed hundreds of players, I've only ever fallen out with 2 or 3, and he's like, one of those was Dwight York, so I rest my case.
Yeah.
The other one was David Dunn, I rest my case. I forget who the others were, but he's basically saying these players were twats.
Although I had big love for Souness last week when he slapped Richie Keys down a bit. And Richie Keys just went on that massive like wanker marathon about Jose Mourinho.
Really?
And it was literally
when Keyes enters a wanker, he never does a half marathon.
No, it was a wankathon.
Yeah.
And he was going, they cut to an insert of Jose Mourinho and it would cut back to Richard Keyes, and Richard Keyes looked at the camera and go, oh, he's a little tease, isn't he? Actually said that. It was really odd.
That was an inter-
And Souness actually said it once. Say, look, can we talk about the game? Is a game going on here? Can we talk about the players?
Even a disciplinarian in the studio.
I like him as a pundit.
Nice. I think he's a good pundit. Yeah.
You love Souness because you met him and he was sound.
He argues with Ruud Gullit quite a lot as well, which is I like.
I love the way they all they both completely ignore Jamie Redknapp.
Yeah.
Jamie Redknapp's only
the big boys are talking.
Yeah, exactly.
Get back to your beach and your horse.
Redknapp's only contribution to that was that I met Jose on a TV show he's just done. He's an intelligent bloke.
He's literally
everyone's an intelligent bloke.
To you, Jamie.
I have to distribute some points, don't I?
Yes, such is the custom.
Go on, Luke.
Yes, I knew it was going to be me. I knew it was going to be me because when he looked at me just beforehand, I knew it was
me. I'm on Christian Gross. I'm sorry.
This recording with a tube ticket.
I was hoping it'd be my ticket to the points, and I was right.
Let's move on to Manchester United versus Liverpool. The home win.
Yeah.
United won. Torres kicked the penalty spot.
Yeah, that was really just. Crafty. Disappointing.
I can't stay mad at him.
I enjoyed it because it was quite accomplished because he did manage to get rid of the penalty spot.
The entire spot.
Pretty good actually. He's done that before.
technically, it should be a booking. I think it's a technical offence.
I think that's a booking. He's a good shot though, is Torres. Yeah. Even when kicking a penalty.
Yeah.
Spot.
That game got boring very quickly.
Yeah.
They just seemed to be content on playing. When it was 1-0, Liverpool just went, "Oh, we'll have that," and then they scored it off.
I thought it was a bit disgraceful because before the game, again, sorry to bring up Jamie literally Redknapp again, but before the game, he was asked whether Liverpool would take a point now. And he was like, yeah, Liverpool would definitely take a point now. And if I was a Liverpool fan, I'd be a bit annoyed by that. I mean, Liverpool are a big team. They're one of the biggest clubs in the world.
They won 4-1 there last year.
Yeah, they shouldn't be going into any game.
So
you've got to look at the sort of the context of this season and how poor it's been. I mean, they are trying to just sort of scrape fourth, I think, and there does seem to be this consensus that they're trying to scrape it rather than just sort of like
they're going to really struggle for it. They're really going to struggle for it.
Did you like Ferguson and Benitez having a bit of a
ding dong?
Do you know what I was on the Five Live commentary? Alan Green, he was just going when he was talking about Ferguson and when he was going over to Benitez and giving it plenty. He was just going, not good enough. Knight of the Realm, not good enough. That is not good enough for a Knight of the Realm.
Was it?
Yeah, he kept saying that.
Green's in
a Knight of the Republic
and
Star Wars, that's alright.
Yeah.
It's fine. But, yeah. If you're an OBE, you can do it. Not if you're a knight, yeah. In on the penalty area.
Not good enough.
Genev for England.
No.
Okay.
done.
No, not done either.
Oh,
boom. I tell you what. Still quite like Gary Neville at right back.
You're a peddler of Gary Neville.
He can deliver a good ball.
He can deliver a good ball. And what more do you? Well, apart
we said
what more do you need, James?
I was a proponent of David Beckham.
Well, he's gone
as well. And so I'm saying now Gary Neville for right wing. So
okay,
AC Milan.
I'm gutted that D-Beck for our back isn't going to.
Yeah, I think we all are, James. I think that Neville, unfortunately. He'd be too off the pace against the decent teams in the World Cup. He can put a good he can whip a good delivery in, but apart from that, he doesn't get up and down nearly enough. No.
Let's be fair to Gary Neville. I mean, he's much derided, but he is a solid, consistent player and has been for a long, long time. He's a great player. Let's be
35 now.
I think it's a bit too late for him, especially as only just kind of coming back.
I mean, it's a testament to him that he was. I mean, 6 months ago, people were saying that his career's over.
Yeah,
and now there's sort of rumblings of him getting
well,
into the World
Cup as well.
He's done well. I don't think he's a terrible footballer. You don't turn into a terrible.
You think he's a terrible bloke, though, don't you?
Well, he is.
He's definitely. He's another inch, isn't he? Really?
Yeah. Very, very outspoken. Yeah. Oh, he's obviously going to become a manager, isn't he? That's going to be annoying.
Oh, big time.
I reckon he fancies the United job.
Absolutely does. Chelsea dropped points at Blackburn. They're now 4 points behind United and 2 behind Arsenal with a game in hand. So
apologies in advance, but Blackburn Rovers are an awful team to watch. They are an awful team.
There's a couple of friends of the Ramble who get annoyed at your ramblings at Blackburn.
I'm not saying it to annoy anyone. I genuinely believe them to be an awful team to watch. And I don't know if...
It's not the fault of Blackburn Rovers, though, is it? It's the man at the helm.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. But I just think the way they set up just to spoil yeah. all the time. And even when they score a goal, it's fucking Elhead's Juve.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find something all right. to like about
Point
it.
Point taken.
Yeah. Did you see how much they celebrated when they drew a game?
It's just not good.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
1-0 is the most Blackburn Rovers score I can think of.
Yeah. Well, they've got a decent home record. I mean, they've got a very poor away record, but at home they are good. And they've got some, I mean, a couple of likeable players. I quite like David Dunn.
Yeah, David Dunn's been great this season. Actually.
And Kalinic has got a lot.
Oh, he's got a lot of potential. Mm. He looks like he's going to be a great player.
Yeah, and they had that boy who played, he made his debut. I mean, to be fair, he did well. Phil Jones.
Young. Yeah, 18?
Yeah, 18 or 19, centre half. Against Drogba on his debut. Did okay.
Yeah, fair enough.
Drogba's goal was really, really good. I mean, he had a lot to do though. It looked really simple when you see it the first time. Yeah. But he had three men on him, and around him, and he really had to angle that. And he just did it without even seeming to look.
Yeah, Chelsea are, in fairness though, that Chelsea are in a bit of a trough at the moment.
A trough
in terms of confidence, anyway. Yeah. They need to get back on track.
See, I think United are probably going to win the league. So I just can't see Arsenal doing it, and I think Chelsea are just more likely to lose a stupid game here and there than United are.
Possible. It's an opinion.
Very much. Spurs won at Stoke.
It's a good result for them.
It was a good result for them.
Stoke were down to 10, though, weren't they?
I think so.
For a little bit, yeah, they had a player sent off. Yeah.
Gomez seemed to have taken some sort of hallucinogens before the game.
That's happened every game.
Yeah, he sorted his head out about halfway through, but he went mental, didn't he?
Every team should take
things
like
all over the place.
Every team should take a tablet each before the game, and they should all be placebos apart from one, which should be like an hallucinogen.
I like that.
And then lols.
Set.
Take my mask off. It is me, Sepp Blatter. Where's my lunch?
Yeah. I hate football.
As long as Jack Warner can push the drugs.
Yeah, yeah.
In the allegedly. Match, it was a brilliant bit where Coit started spinning and he didn't know where the ball was. But he spanned twice and I thought he was going to keep on going and drill himself at the floor. He
drill himself.
He's like a dog chasing his tail. It was still up in the air though, so that's why he couldn't see. Where's
it gone? That is fantastic.
Drill into the ground and come out the other side and turn up at an A-League game. In defence.
Actually accurate, he'd come out in the sea. So
his bearings might be better than... I might have an iPhone on him. Stoke v Spurs. I wanted to say that Harry Redknapp said about Assou Ekotto... he can be very hard work. Apparently, Assou Ekotto was seen sort of stomping off on his own.
Well, he went on a mental one with Chorluka, didn't he?
He had a bust up with Chorluka, and Redknapp said, "Charlie, that's Chorluka."
That annoys me. Yeah. It's such a Redknappism.
Yeah.
Charlie.
Charlie can't be bothered to work out his real name. Charlie.
That Assou Ekotto Chorluka incident. Strangely, wasn't shown on Match of the Day.
Really?
Oh, right.
I didn't show it.
No. He said that Chorluka was upset that he didn't come back and do his job. But he said about Assou Ekotto, he said, Benoit, he's a strange boy. He's a bit highly strung and hardly speaks English. if you say something to him, he's hard work. He hasn't improved his English in a couple of years he's been here.
Probably better than Red.
But no, but this is
better than your sons, mate.
And come on. This is not a family affair.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it is, I don't know. But he was asked... Redknapp, they said about Assou Ekotto, why was he so angry after the match? He said, he probably didn't know the result. He probably thought we'd drawn. He said, and then he talks about the Fulham match. He said he'll turn up on Wednesday and play great, but he won't know who we're playing until someone tells him. That's how he is. He's unreal. He just walks off and he just thinks about his music and all that sort of stuff.
So
man management.
Yeah, if Redknapp barely speaks to him and barely understands him when he does, how can he tell what he's thinking?
Yeah, it's true.
That's a good point, actually.
The thing is, I can remember when Redknapp was Portsmouth manager and he went off on one week. I mean, I was thinking he was making some sort of excuse for us losing or something. And he said that he blamed a couple of the foreign players. And he said, oh, it's so difficult sometimes. I mean, none of them drink and they hardly even play golf. It's like, that's not the start and end of being a person.
And let alone a footballer.
Exactly, yeah.
Oh, Sandra's had a shocker today. My wife has missed a sitter in front of golf. That was awful when he did that to Darren Bent.
Yeah, it was. But Redknapp always adapts things around the way they suit him, because when he said that about players not drinking, can you remember then when he was at Spurs, he went on a massive one about Ledley King?
Yeah.
So he shouldn't be drinking.
And also about the secret Christmas party as well.
Yeah, it's such double standards. But that Esso Okotu Chiluka thing was like a real. It was like a child's version of the Boya Dyer incident.
Oh, was it?
Do you remember that?
Yeah, of course.
I've never seen a man's face in so much rage than Lee Boya.
Oh yeah,
Lee. He had a face which almost physically turned into a clenched fist.
Yeah, like, it's like the features bunched up in the middle. It's just like really tiny little.
And he was doing that thing,
face.
Like Bob Hoskins in what's that film? Bob, like, The Long Good Friday. He was just going. That's his face. It was unbelievable.
Kieran Dyer seemed a bit surprised. I thought, well, yeah, if there's a fight, I'm interested.
Yeah. Oh no, I've tweaked my hamstring. I've tweaked a muscle just thinking about fighting.
Oh dear. That moves us on to Sunderland v Birmingham.
Cracker of a game.
There was some good goalkeeping. I wanted to point that out.
Craig Gordon
made some great saves.
He's really found some form. Actually, he was very unlucky against City when Johnson got that winner because he'd had a really good game.
Yeah, he did. And
well, he lost his place for ages.
And Hart as well, you know, showing again that he's got to be on that plane.
He's going to be on the plane and he's going to be in the squad. I think the unfortunate thing about it is, and it is a weird one from Capello, is that there's not enough games to bed Hart in.
Yeah.
But he's not, even the games we have got, he's not playing Hart. He's playing Green.
That's right. Yeah. So he's going for Green, isn't he, really? Mm. Do you think D-Ben should be in the England squad? That's Darren Bent.
Yeah. Well, apart from Wayne Rooney, Darren Bent's a leading English Premier League scorer.
That's right. Yeah. Pete, would you rather
Definitely.
Would you?
Who else would you? Who else
over Defoe?
Well, Defoe's injured, isn't he?
Well, how long is he going to be out
Defoe
for?
Defoe should be fine.
Yeah, he's not out for the World Cup, certainly.
The problem is, if you've got Crouch, who's an impact sub up front for England, and he's always going to go.
Do you think Rooney will go?
Rooney will go, definitely.
Okay, right.
Heskey will go. Yeah. I don't think he'll go like that.
Well, that basically leaves it for Defoe or Bent.
You know, no, he won't take five.
He will not take five.
I think he'll take... He'll take Walcott.
Nugent?
Thinking that...
He's not taking Nugent.
He can sort of use him as a striker if it comes down to it.
Well, hang on, let's talk about Nugent. Let's not just dismiss it.
Okay, do you think he'll take
Nugent? Let's talk about Nugent.
James
what
Nugent.
What are your pros for Nugent, Luke? I want to hear this.
100% international scoring record.
Okay, which he nicked off Jermaine Defoe.
Come on, we can all relate to that.
Yeah.
No, I don't think... I mean, the problem is I think that Capello finds Darren Bent a bit too one-dimensional. Mm. In that formation they play, with a big target man, I think... With the three just behind the target man, Heskey's always going to be that target man, unless Rooney steps
but
on.
But Bent strikes me as the type of guy, he'll just always score.
Well, not for England, he won't. What
hang on, he's hardly had a chance for England.
He started the game against Brazil, and he's made...
Oh, come on, he started the game against Brazil.
Well, I'm sorry, that's the World Cup standard. What do you want him to do? So you want to take a player then?
No, hang on a minute.
You can't play against
who
Brazil.
Who's playing behind him?
I don't
You've
know.
Genus started that
game.
Yeah,
it's true.
No, but, you know, Brazil is not a way to bed yourself in, is it? Let's be honest. Bent's not really had a fair crack of the whip.
I'm hearing a lot of excuses.
from the Bent fan club.
Yeah.
He's got more of a chance than Nugent.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And that's an example of how wrong the world is.
We're going to move on. Last week, the last 16 of the Champions League was concluded. And Chelsea are out.
Yes.
Jose's Inter went there and won 1-0. I'd like to bring up something that one of the Ramblers brought to my attention.
Was it me?
It was you. The Daily Mail's ratings from the Chelsea Inter Milan.
It says a lot about you, the paper you read, doesn't it, really?
At the risk of everyone now pigeonholing me in the Daily Mail reader.
You've shot yourself in the foot.
Someone, in fact, sent that on to me and I forwarded it on.
Yeah.
Oh, it's your own work, unbelievable.
Asylum seeking teenagers stealing our swans.
Yeah. You were outraged when you told me about
Come over it.
Right, back to the football. Chelsea Inter. Who was your man of the match?
Wesley Snyder.
Agreed. Pete?
Yeah, I'd go with that.
James?
I heard Samuel had a very, very good game as well. I didn't
actually
see
fair enough. Fair enough.
Yeah. Samuel was decent, yeah. He was, yeah.
Well, they had Walter Samuel down as man of the match, but Snyder was the standout player for my money.
Snyder basically reduced Lampard to footballing rubble for 90 minutes.
Well, here's some of the ratings. Turnbull, the Chelsea goalkeeper, got 6. Okay, didn't really do much. Made a good save at the end, but, you know. Yeah. Ivanovic, he got 6 as well. Terry got 6. Zhirkov got 6. Lampard got 6. And Elka got 6. Schneider also got 6. Drogba got 7.
Alex got 7, Maluda got 7. So apparently Maluda, Alex and Drogba had a better game than Wesley Sneijder.
It's unbelievable.
All them goals, they all scored. Mm.
So what did Lampard get?
He got 6.
And what did Sneijder get?
6.
So, well, yeah, no, it is not like the Daily Mail to sort of rag on the foreigners, is it?
Exactly, yeah.
It is a true shock.
Yeah, Jose went there.
Until Sneijder comes over here and goes to the Reebok on a wet and windy Tuesday night and performs and delivers, then he will always be an unproven, unfulfilled talent.
I agree with that, actually, so...
Inter go through, and was that not quite crucial for Italian football? They would have lost a place, wouldn't they?
I thought they were going to lose it anyway, but apparently they're not. No, really?
Yeah, it was
and, and that's directly based on that game.
Well, if Inter had got knocked out, I think they would have gone down to 3 Champions League places, and Germany would have got the 4th one.
Wow. Mm.
Yeah, so it's really big news for them as well. Yeah.
There was that lovely shot that you sent around with that. I think it was on the BBC website where Mourinho is just sort of walking past John Terry doing an interview, and he's
Terry's ignoring him.
Just laughing.
Yeah, yeah. Sort of smirking at his head.
Terry was getting booed all game against Blackburn this week as well, wasn't he?
What was he?
Every time he touched the ball, he got booed by the whole ground. Obviously,
he keeps trying to run the
whole ground.
Stewards, that's why.
Yeah,
you must the stewards boo.
Terry went mental after that Champions League game again. He went mental.
It's a disgrace.
At the referee. He's even piped up today saying that UEFA's going to have a look at it. They need to look at it.
That what exactly?
Well, I mean, he says that they had like... I know there was a situation where I think it was Drogba who went down the area and he sort of wrestled to the ground.
Was it not Maluda?
Was it Maluda? Okay, possibly.
And
they should have got a penalty or whatever. And the thing is that I know they were hard done by against Barcelona in the penalties department. But I mean, it just smacks of being so reactionary and so like petty. Mm. You know, the bottom.
Oh, it is. Yeah, and that's why. It just makes Chelsea very dislikable, doesn't it? When you have sort of people like that piping up saying, well, it's a disgrace, you know, there's a conspiracy against us. And that is, reading between the lines, that is what he's saying.
Yeah, he said, I'm not going to say the word conspiracy, but you
were. But I am.
Yeah, yeah.
They were beaten by a very organised side with a lot of class. Yeah. And I know Inter haven't shown that much in Europe in the last few seasons, but they've got a lot of good players and they've got a great manager. Mm. You got beat, lads. Just,
yeah, simple as that. Yeah.
You know, fair enough.
Twice as well.
Yeah.
You enjoyed saying that.
Oh, it felt good.
Well, a couple of weeks' time after, I think we'll be getting twice. Well.
Three times, probably, somehow.
Messi.
Well done.
He's just going to play on his own against Arsenal.
Yeah.
his performance against Stuttgart was quality.
If he plays in the same position against Arsenal that he did against Zaragoza at the weekend, he'll be playing in that little gap just between Clichy and Sol Campbell. Dear, oh dear.
Yeah, but the Champions League draw has been... Oh, before we say that... Matt Derbyshire was sent off, unfortunately, for Olympiacos away to Lyon. But he did score the winner in the Athens derby on the weekend after coming off the bench against Panathinaikos.
He scored against them before as well, hasn't he? He's been a bit of a hero. It's great.
Great to see an Englishman playing in the Champions League for a non-English club.
Well, the great stuff is the Champions League, that game against Lyon, I think they started up front with Derbyshire and Luar Luar.
Oh, wow. Right.
Yeah. So that was quite nice.
And they didn't win.
No.
The Champions League draw has been made. Bayern versus United, classic.
Yeah. I think a lot of people are assuming that United are going to walk that. That's not as easy as it looks.
They've only ever beaten Bayern Munich once in their history, and that was in the final in 99. Yeah.
Robin scored a good one, didn't he?
Oh, God.
Against Fiorentina.
That was a hell of a game, wasn't it?
They've got good players, Bayern Munich.
Of course they have. Yeah, Robin and Ribery.
Yeah. Robin and Ribery.
Say it again. Everyone say it.
Rib Rob.
Robin and Ribery. It's brilliant.
Yeah, sounds like a children's story.
If you're listening to this on a train and you're on your own, say it. Doesn't matter. The person next to you will enjoy it.
Yeah.
Robin and Ribery. Brilliant.
Pete, what are you trying to say? Oh, sorry. I thought you were going to say
Robin and Ribery.
There you go. I thought you were winding up something, but clearly.
Sounds like a leg injury.
My eyes fail me.
Arsa versus
Barcelona.
Yeah.
If we merged, I'd be delighted.
Arsenal versus Barca.
Preferably ahead of the game.
I've stumbled upon something there. Maybe I should leave it.
Well, it's going to be hopefully pleasing on the eye if you don't support Arsenal, mainly, I would imagine. But it's going to be interesting to see how the game is, because they play in a similar way. Obviously, Barcelona are a little bit more effective than Arsenal.
I think Barcelona at Arsenal times a billion.
Yeah.
Bettner will be the difference.
Well, Ben. Yeah.
Yeah, Ben. Him and... Ibrahimovic, I reckon, would get on really well together.
They'd either be best mates or they'd hate.
Yeah, it'd be a complete bromance or just hatred.
A Shakespearean rivalry.
Yeah.
Inter have got CSKA and Lyon versus Bordeaux. There will be a French side in the semi-final.
That's like great.
Yeah, I do. Part of me thinks it's a shame that they've been drawn together, but then it is
conspiracy.
Good.
Undoubtedly.
Well, at least they're going to have a team in the semi.
At least we're going to see a French side in the semi-final.
French football's coming back to sort of rude health, actually. Yeah. There's a big thing that I read recently, that 18 of the top 20 teams' managers are French. A lot of them have gone through that Clairefontaine Academy, which has helped set up by Julia.
Yeah.
The league's very close. Attendances are up. Laurent Blanc's doing a great job at Bordeaux. They've got some great players like Gourcuff.
And it's really significant as well that Gourcuff chose to come back to France from Milan at such a young age, because he made such a difference to Bordeaux. I think Bordeaux breaking up the sort of dominance of Lyon has really, really made a difference. It's almost like sort of galvanised the other teams. It's like, oh, it can be done.
Well, we said last time around, it's very tight at the top in the French league.
I wonder, I don't know anything about economics, but just, I wonder how much that's got to do with the euro and the pound being quite similar now.
It's probably more to do with football, mate.
Who knows? But I think it's good that there'll be at least one French team in the semi. If you think they've got two teams in the quarters,
that's right.
That's more than Italy and Germany, and so it's good stuff.
And Spain,
of course.
And as many as England. As you know, we've got the best world league has ever seen.
The most exciting league
something
the world
like
has ever known.
And all those other silly things. In the one that it probably matters a little bit more, the Europa League.
It's been exciting this season, Europa.
Yeah, it has. Well, it always is by this point, isn't it? Because the teams have gone through like 34 games to get here, so it's like we can't go out now unless we're managed by mange-ridden orangutan Gary Megson.
The Europa League season is coming to a climax. Quarterfinals have been set, and Fulham are in there. Gentlemen, I was at the cottage.
Ooh. Oh,
for the Juventus game.
You predicted exactly 4-1 to Fulham as well.
I did predict it to be 4-1.
I've seen the email.
Yeah,
you explicitly
it's
said that
true.
Scoreline.
He took a screenshot and sent it around.
And he said
they can be doctored.
Yeah, but he got all the scores right and all the minutes as well.
I can't take that, I'm afraid. Oh, Clint Dempsey, though, what a finish!
Oh, it's brilliant
for the fourth.
It was wonderful. There is a part of me thinking, did he mean that?
I think he meant it. I think he did.
I watched that goal at least 10 times. It was exquisite.
It's just
it
one of those.
Excited me. It genuinely, the season always goes on. I always think, well, this really hasn't ignited my interest this season. Maybe I've lost sort of faith in football. And then that happens. It's like, yes!
It is definitely, it was kind of one of those nights where like the stars aligned and everything happened perfectly. They were one down, and to win it with a wonder goal like that was always just the icing on the cake.
It was mega.
You know whether he meant it or not, Dempsey, I'm a bit like Mulder and the UFOs. I want to believe. I want to believe he meant it.
All right.
But can I offer a bit of balance and say that Fulham were a bit fortunate?
No.
It wasn't a sending off. Cannavaro's was never a sending off.
No, it did look harsh.
And I don't think
he meant to bring him down.
Probably wasn't even a foul, I don't think.
Oh, come on. He meant to bring him down.
Just putting it out there.
We'll take it back.
Sorry.
I'll have to want it out there.
I'll tell you what, though, on a much more serious note, actually, that Jonathan Zabina, the French fullback for Juventus, he's apologised for gesturing because he was sent off right at the end. I think it was a bit of a lash.
Did a bit of a drogba, didn't he? Right, I'm getting sent off now. We're going out. I'm getting sent off.
I'm going to be a disgrace.
In my head, drogba was thinking, right, we're going out now, but how can I make this all about me? I'm obviously not going to score, so I'm going to get sent off.
I'm going to completely martyr myself again.
Yeah, but if I do this, I'll get a higher rating in the Daily Mail than Schneider.
Yeah.
Which he did. Zabina has apologised for gesturing to the Juventus supporters. Apparently stuck his middle finger up. I say apparently, I saw it.
He's obviously a good judge of character then.
Yeah, well, I saw it because we were, my good friend Garth, bloody good rep, and I were sat behind the goal, and the Juventus fans were just to our right. And he ran past, and I thought he stuck his middle finger up or something, and they all went mental at him.
Did they?
Yeah. However, let me finish. He did apologise, but he said, I was insulted by about 30 hooligans and racists in the Juventus end.
Yeah.
Right.
He said, they started to insult both me and Felipe Melo right from the warm-up, and I'm fed up with this situation.
Melo's had a tough time out there, hasn't he? He's been voted like worst player in Serie A, stuff like that. He's getting a lot of harsh treatment off them. Yeah, no, he's having an absolute mare.
He'll be in the Brazil squad for the World Cup.
It costs him a lot of money as well.
But, I mean, why insult your own? I mean, why insult anybody like that? But your own players
before the game.
Apparently, they pelted the team bus afterwards, didn't they?
Oh my goodness,
just outrageous.
Well, he said, Zabina said, you know, these people have to stop it. We received more applause from the Fulham fans than our own. He said, I showed the finger. I apologise because it's not a good example to kids, but I was exasperated.
And you boys know my feelings on this. I'm not a big fan of I can abuse a player for 90 minutes.
Absolutely
but
not.
If he says something back, it's offensive to my children.
No.
You're offending your own children, pal.
Yeah.
by doing what you're doing, you know. So I know it doesn't set a great example because they're on television a lot and footballers are role models, but you know, something's got to be done to be in the stands to sort that out.
To be fair to Zabina, I mean, he, in the heat at the moment, he's just... they've just been put out of Europe. He's just got sent off. He's clearly frustrated, and he's being racially abused.
Yeah,
but yeah, more than understandable that he's given the middle finger. But he has apologised.
What is worse, racism or swearing?
Yeah,
that's what this is coming down to.
We don't have time to answer that now.
Tune in next week.
I've never done a racist swear.
Rangers have won the Scottish League Cup. Down to 9 men.
Yeah.
They won it.
Impressive.
We got an email from Colin in Glasgow, and he said, I watched Rangers, £33 million in debt, haven't bought a player in 18 months, selling off players, down to 9 men, win the League Cup and chant, easy, 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 when left in the car.
Talk to the accountant. Yeah.
One of the senders off was an abysmal challenge.
Oh, well, was it from behind, that
astonishingly
one?
Astonishingly bad. Yeah.
But I mean, great header from Kenny Miller to win it.
It was beautiful. It was just such a quick header. It was really weird, but it was bottom left, wasn't it?
It was. Yeah.
Well, keepers bottom right. Yeah. He needed to generate a lot of power.
Get those neck muscles pumping. He had to run about 100 metres to celebrate with the fans as well, because hand was so big.
It's such a shame for, you know, a club like St Mirren. I mean, they've done so well to get to the final, and they were actually, you know, it was 0-0 up, obviously, because it ended 1-0. I mean, it was on the 82nd minute or something. It was towards the end of the game anyway. And they're holding their own. They've created a few chances.
Well, they should be more than holding their own, though. It's 9 men. You've got
no, but I'm saying they were holding their own when it was 11v11.
Right, okay.
And they had a couple of chances. I mean, there was a great save by Alexander, the Rangers keeper, from one. And then there was a 25-yarder off the bar. You know, they were looking quite likely.
Yeah.
And then Rangers down to 9 men, you think, God, blimey, St Mirren. You know, little, relatively speaking, little club compared to the Old Firm, obviously.
Yeah.
It'd be nice for them to lift a trophy, and then Rangers come to the other end and the 9 men win it. You know?
There's a lot to be said for actually knowing how to win things. Like, Rangers obviously know how to win.
Of course,
And St Mirren maybe haven't been in that position as much, obviously. So.
But can you imagine being a St Mirren fan? Your team's team's doing well against 11. Suddenly it's 9v11, you're thinking, here we go.
You'd be destroyed, you'd be devastated,
Rangers could be on for a treble as well.
That's right, yeah.
Am I right in saying that Hampden Park looked resplendent at the weekend? It looked beautiful. I don't know what it was.
Hosted a great Champions League final as well, didn't it? There's a damn one.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
It's, I love that stadium.
Although a few of my friends in Scotland were a bit annoyed, actually, when they rebuilt Hampden, because they said it's only 55,000. And they were saying, you know, for Scotland games, you could get more than that.
Yeah.
And I think there was a couple of people slightly disappointed when it was rebuilt.
No, I agree with Peter. I think it's a nice stadium.
It's definitely it's a great venue, you know. On to the Primera Liga. We're going to talk about Lionel Messi again.
Again, yeah. He's doing it every week. We can't not talk about it. It would be stupid to leave it out.
It's like Sid Lowe's column where he said, I know it's only Zaragoza, but he does it all the time.
He does. I mean, that first goal, the header, I mean, obviously the second goal was absolute phenomenal, but that the pinpoint accuracy of that header, it was like he just had to get it on his face and could then think it into the net.
Yeah.
Just sort of, it was just like sat-nav with his brain.
That's so easy for him.
His goals aren't necessarily the most powerful shots as well. He's just incredibly clinical. He knows exactly where the corner of the net is.
Yeah.
As far away from the goalkeeper as possible. And he's got such great balance. And, oh, God.
His balance. He's like a human joystick.
Yeah. He's comparable to Maradona with his balance, actually. That was a big feature of his
play. It's a low centre of gravity, isn't it?
Yeah.
A similar height and build.
Definitely.
To paraphrase someone else, when it comes to Messi's performance at the weekend, words barely graze the surface. It's impossible to say how good he was.
But the strength that he had to take the ball off to do.
Never moans, never complains, gives penalties to some other people, even though he's pulled out the most outrageous piece of skill.
Yeah.
And the great thing about that penalty was that when he was on the floor, his foot was still on the ball.
Yeah.
It was like, you have to literally knock me over.
And he's a little guy as well, which is a great thing. Sorry, James, just to kind of carry on from what you were saying about, you know, very likeable and so on. He'd said after the game, the real merit of my goals goes to my teammates. It's true that I score goals, but without the help of my teammates, it would be impossible. Again, a very humble guy.
Yeah.
You know, like Cristiano Ronaldo.
Well, it's interesting that Messi, if you saw him in the street and you didn't know he was a footballer, he just does look like some geeky little kid, doesn't he? Whereas Ronaldo's this sort of chiselled Greek god-style guy.
Yeah,
maybe
he's
just got humble roots in just how he is as a bloke.
Cristiano Ronaldo is a Galactico.
Oh, absolutely.
Messi's definitely a Barcelona player.
I think that, you know, when they compare the old Rooney and Messi team, Messi's miles ahead of Rooney in the assist table as well. I think Rooney's only got about four or five Premier League assists this season.
Right.
Rooney really Messi contributes so much.
Yeah, he does.
To Barcelona,
he just makes things happen. He's one of those players where when he's on the ball, teams almost panic now because there's so much that he can do, and he just so rarely disappoints. It reminds me of when Ronaldinho was really in his pomp at Barcelona. Oh, yeah. You would put the TV on and just magic would happen every time. You wouldn't. Sometimes, you know, a player's got a big reputation, you see them and it's a bit disappointing for a while, but every time with him, and Messi's the same, like, but almost like times a million. It's just so good. That second goal, the Zaragoza player was just like just blocking him. He had like a foot round. It was like he was going to put him in a sharpshooter, but he still still got out of it and managed to score that wonder goal.
Again, it's interesting actually. That reminds me, you just saying that, of what Ronaldinho said when he won World Player of the Year. I think it was in 2005, maybe. Messi would have been about 17. Yeah. And Ronaldinho said, when he was asked to comment on winning World Player of the Year, he said, "I'm not even the best player at Barcelona." And he's obviously talking about Messi.
Yeah.
And Messi's obviously gone on to fulfil that potential to such an extent where he's already won more European Cups than Maradona. You know, already.
When you watch Messi beat a man 2-3 times, usually the same man. Not usually the same man. Anyway. But it's like watching Maradona back in the day. But faster.
The game's faster.
There's a video also that was in Sid Lowe's column that you were talking about, which is of a very, very young Messi just playing in his school team, and he's under 10 at the time, it looks, and he just, it's the same, it's what he's doing now. It's with a full size ball, he's taken it out wide, beaten a few players, beat them again, gone back in, scored with a like placed shot. It's an incredible piece of
that's
video.
It's a bit like Luca, if you watch videos of him when he was 10, it's the same.
It's true actually.
And we could have another 10 years of him.
Yeah. Well,
you don't live very well, Luke.
Yeah. It's interesting though, because we were saying on the last show about players peaking very early now, and I mean, obviously I hope Messi manages to sort of sustain this. Can he top the sort of the way he's playing now? I mean, can he just maintain this for 10 years, or will he fall away, as a lot of players seem to do? I mean, what do you guys think?
Well, he gets injuries, that's the problem. Yeah. I think last season he was okay, but before that he's had injuries. But I mean, the last thing I read before going to the Zaragoza game on Sunday night was that he might not play because he's got a tooth abscess.
Really?
So, and that's quite a painful thing to have, a tooth abscess, you know. So he played, presumably, with that. But
the one thing I would say about Messi is that he has got a very good footballing brain. Mm. And the assists show that.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and a lot of the great players that are all about pace and skill, that kind of goes, you know, the quickness of the feet goes. But their assists, they're not... They score some great goals and all the rest of it, but when they get a bit older, if you're a bit slower and they slow down, then obviously that is to the detriment. But if Messi's got the footballing brain, which he does, then that would suggest that he could go on longer than your average.
Well, it's almost like he's like Riquelme, but really fast.
Yeah.
If he slowed and lost his pace as he got on, he could just become Riquelme.
Yeah, yeah.
The best quote I saw of him after the game was that someone mentioned, why did they give the penalty to Ibrahimovic? And he just said, well, he needed it.
Yeah, he did. Well, Ibrahimovic wasn't a happy bunny.
He's angry.
He looked furious.
He always took it as like a personal insult, how good Messi was.
At the moment, you know, the world is kind of just rejoicing about Lionel Messi. Apart from Real Madrid and Zlatan Ibrahimovic, would appear, you know.
He missed some chances, Zlatan. He missed one of them.
He just couldn't believe it.
Bereft himself, of confidence.
Yeah, it was just...
Well, is he a bit annoyed with Messi?
He might have one or two goals this year.
Yeah, second goal this year, the penalty was.
Right, yeah.
Ibrahimovic came from Inter, where he was the man.
Yeah.
And now he's at Barcelona, and he's not playing particularly well.
Well, he's been the man his whole career, isn't he? Even
that's right.
Sweden and
he clearly isn't at the moment, you know.
I've never rated him.
Come on. No, we all rate Ibrahimovic.
Yeah, James Butler.
Yeah. As James said before, you know, it's a trickier transition from Italy into Spain. People seem to think, oh, well, they're continental countries, it should be easy. It's not, actually. It's a tricky one, that.
It's funny how the standards change, because I think Ibrahimovic, I'm reasonably confident he'll still finish with about 20 goals this season.
Yeah,
it's
not
bad.
Yeah.
For his first season in a new
that's
league,
very, very,
you know, and arguably a more competitive league.
If he does, of course. Mm. End of that. We've got an email from Proper Hard Man.
That's not his real name.
Is he Scottish? Scottish
proper hard man. He said I was at the Nou Camp, and I just thought that I'd point. This was for Messi, the previous hat trick, not against Zaragoza.
Yeah. Which one? Yeah, narrow it down.
Any of the above. And he said that I'd just like to point out that when Messi scored his second and third goal, Ibrahimovic looked quite annoyed and didn't celebrate at all. Pedro even had a go at him for not congratulating Messi when he completed his hat trick. Yes. Now, we are going on what Proper Hard Man says there.
Yes. Is he Proper Observant Man? That's
I'm not going to question him just because that's his name.
Yeah. He might punch us through an email.
Ibra is one of those, though. I think he's one of those players that it seems like he's... I mean, I don't know if he was pissed off. He's probably just a little bit annoyed with himself, if anything. And I think he's quite a self-indulgent and a player who's, you know, obviously arrogant and thinks about himself a lot. But in a way, I think that single-mindedness has got him to where he is. So it's difficult to turn that off and on.
If you've missed an open goal... whatever the scoreline, you can't be happy with your performance.
No, exactly. I mean,
that's going to be playing on his mind. He's just going to be annoyed about that.
I think it'll be interesting next season for him.
It will be. I mean,
season out of the way.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like he's been a disaster. This is a lull in an otherwise good season. A lot of people are saying, oh, he's flopped at Barcelona. Has he? Fuck.
Yeah,
he got the winner in El Clasico. And that's you know, that's an accolade.
He's got it in his locker.
Well, it's not an accolade, it's an achievement.
Yeah, he's got it in his locker.
Yeah. In Serie A, Cagliari are to refund their fans after they lost 2-0 at home to struggling Lazio. It was announced before the Lazio game, I believe, that they've lost three of their previous four matches. And President Massimo Cellino said that they're going to reimburse the fans because of their club's poor performances.
A 2-0 defeat really isn't that bad.
Well, no, I think
they must be absolutely furious. It's like what we were saying earlier about the sort of that fan-club-player relationship.
They're just terrified of their fans.
Yeah,
it was matches before they've had a poor run.
It's an incremental
thing. Poor run is a poor run. It sets an ugly precedent. Not the president of the club, but I'm sure he's a good-looking man.
ugly president.
I just thought it just... I think football clubs should be allowed to lose.
So they've won 3 in 26 games, though. I mean, it's pretty poor.
That's Lazio.
I don't think Lazio
have won 3 in 26.
Sorry, yeah, apologies. Yeah,
Sunderland never, when they were relegated, were like 10 points or something. They've never
And it's a strange one. I mean, the nearest thing that happened was when Wigan got beat 9 off Spurs, wasn't it, earlier in the season?
Yeah.
They refunded their.
That's right.
But I mean, that's a long old trip. And 9 goals is taking the piss. But I know what Pete's saying. I mean, it's a 2-0 loss. I mean, it's not.
But it was for. I don't know how many times I've got to say this. It was for performance.
A concerted effort.
It was before that the 2-0 loss. Well, it was previous performances.
The Cagliari coach said that that Cagliari are in physiological decline.
Yeah,
that sounds quite worrying. I mean, that sounds terminal.
Wow, maybe they need one of these training camps.
Yeah, possibly. Emails.
It is indeed a welcome return for the emails.
It's not been away.
It has for a week.
It was hiding behind that tree. That
Jim,
the email section.
Do an email.
Yeah, I'm just going to get on with it.
Hide behind the tree. Yeah.
James, quickly.
Yeah, you're in a tree. Okay.
And you're very warm.
Hello, Ramblers.
Hello.
Let's get quickly on with this.
Tree.
Best podcast out there. Keep up the good work. Thank you. Just heard you talking about funny things heard on terraces. I remember being 16 and being behind the goal at Hearts versus St Mirren, glamour tie. They had a goalie at the time called Campbell Money.
I remember Campbell Money.
It sounds like me being a rapper, frankly. If I was a rapper, I'd be definitely
Campbell
called
Money.
That.
And my brother always used to say, no, his name's Money Campbell. I said, it's not Money Campbell.
Why is that better?
Yeah.
More money, more problems.
It's a bit like money, Mayweather.
Floyd Money Mayweather, yeah.
Floyd
Money,
yeah. But
Campbell.
But Campbell's like, sort of, he was one of those guys who always looked old.
It sounds like that. So anyway, Campbell Money's in goal, and this old guy next to me was abusing Money for the whole game, getting more and more irate by the minute. When the referee decided to book Money for time wasting with about 5 minutes to go, he dithered and took ages writing his name in the book. At which point, the old guy next to me came out with a priceless comment, "What's the matter, referee? Can you not spell bastard?"
Good one. Good one.
Still makes me chuckle, but so does the constipated mathematician working it out with a pencil joke. Cheers, Jonathan Emmons.
Don't even know that joke, but good email.
Think about it.
Campbell Money's a proper. I think he was a one man club at St Mary's. Proper legend at St
Mary's. A one club man or a one man club?
One man club.
One man club wouldn't get anywhere.
One man army.
Yeah.
Oi. Craig Bellamy.
Yeah.
Alright, yeah, okay, I've stumbled upon my words yet again. And you picked
yet
up
on been suitably chasing.
So self-defeating. Yes, I've done it again.
This time it can't be edited out. But no, he stayed at St Mirren his whole career, I'm pretty sure.
Mm. Another Scottish email.
Mm.
Yeah. Hello, Force. Here's a ridiculous thing. Former Aberdeen manager Ebbe Skovdale said, "Statistics are just like miniskirts. They give you good ideas but hide the most important thing." Brilliant. Love you, Mike Douglas.
Well, we love you too, Mike.
Thanks, Mike. Aberdeen, my Scottish team, so I empathise with that.
Oh, it's a very Scottish slant on the emails. Mm. Lovely stuff. Boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, and all the rest, it's profile time.
Well, I think you covered it with all those.
It is profile time. And this is a man who I think
I've certainly wanted to do for a while. If you pardon the expression. Well, I've let the cat out of the bag, and I'm going to move on quickly.
You put the cat in the bag with force.
Well, let me stop you there and say Carlos Alberto Valderrama.
Hey. Good.
Yeah?
Nice.
For the Barnet, if anything.
Don't cheapen it.
Sorry.
I say this every week.
A worthy addition.
Better.
Yeah, a worthy addition, definitely.
He was born on September the 2nd, 1961.
8 years before the Summer of Love.
Won the sperm race.
Hang on.
Yeah, we don't really do that.
Six years before the Summer of Love.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
Got that wrong again.
When he won the sperm race.
We were getting the Summer of Love wrong for about 15 episodes before
really?
We realised. No one said anything.
Well, it is a vitally crucial part of the show.
I bet his sperm took ages with a lot of hair. I bet they had little afros. Little tadpole afros.
Had vision, though.
Yeah.
Irrelevant in the highest possible degree.
They were. They were the goal was.
I like that.
Carlos Valderrama, possibly the finest footballer from Colombia. And I'm sure El Loco, René Higuita won't mind me saying that.
No.
The fans gave him the nickname El Pibe, the kid.
Nice.
And he's Colombia's most capped player of all time.
We're not big on nicknames in England.
No.
Ever since we started doing this show, I've realised we're really not big on nicknames.
No.
It's annoying because, I mean, in Brazil, your nickname's on your shirt.
Yeah.
You know? I'm sure there are ice cream men that have names like Ronaldinho.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just everybody's called that.
Yeah.
Although saying that, you know, Gaza would have been on his shirt. And
we had Gaza.
Waza.
Yeah.
JT. I'm dead against it.
Wadley.
What's Messi? The flea or something?
The flea.
Rubbish. Derisory.
If it sort of suits him, though, that's the thing.
Yeah.
Higuain is El Pepito, isn't it?
Where is he?
So,
as I say, Colombia's most capped player of all time. And
how many has he got?
111.
Good.
Loads.
And
if he's got OCD, he'll love that.
Yeah. Well, he scored 11 goals as well.
Oh, really?
He is, yeah.
Very
yeah.
symmetrical.
Very binary.
Wow. Nice one, Pete.
Yeah.
Robo Pete.
Geeks.
He's a South American footballing icon.
Absolutely.
I think we can all agree on that. I was reading up about the man, and someone described him as a gifted midfield schemer.
That's nice.
And I thought, yes, he is. Or was. Probably still is.
When I think of Valderrama, I think can break forward.
Yeah?
That's what I think of, yeah.
Very sort of European-style player, in a way, Valderrama. Sort of
a classic 10, you could say.
Yeah.
South American playmaker,
which
we all love. Played the game at a walking pace.
Yeah.
Stroke the ball.
Socrates-esque. Maybe it's something to do with the hair.
He did caress the ball around,
But he would cover every blade of grass, though.
When he was on the ball was getting loved tenderly. It was
arrest. Very well done, Luke.
Yeah.
But he commanded sort of everyone's attention when he did slow the ball down, because it was just like, what's he going to do out there?
Yeah.
Oh, I hope he does a header, it'll look funny.
But what's great, though, the way he moved was very graceful, and his hair just moved brilliantly with it.
It was like a cloud.
Yeah.
It was that tall, like a mountain.
It was all there. The Valderrama family, a friend of mine said that they're known to some Colombians as the royal family of football in Colombia.
Wow.
Apparently his dad, who's also called Carlos, but Jerico was his nickname, was a good player back in the 60s. His uncle, Alex Didi Valderrama, was a decent player, and his brothers, Alan and Ronald, were good players.
Alan Valderrama!
You don't want to hear that.
Is that serious?
Alan Valderrama, please meet you. Yeah, the Royal Family of Football. The man's a bit rubbish. I've never seen you laugh like that, Luke. Look at his face.
Yeah. Incidentally, other brother Steve didn't make it.
Oh, God, that's brilliant. Alan Valderrama. run out of names or something. who's naming him? Neville.
Oh dear.
Ronald's just as bad.
Yeah.
He started to play professional football with his favourite club, Union Magdalena. I think I got that right. In 1981. He was there for 2 years, and then he moved on to one of the big clubs, Millonarios. Alfredo Di Stefano and René Higuita's team as well.
Mm.
They were the famous side of back in the 50s.
That was with Di Stefano, yeah. And of course, Higuita also played for them. Who was also in the Dean Windass Hall of Fame.
Recent entry.
That's right. He then moved on to one of the other big sides, Deportivo de Cali. And with Deportivo, he finished second two seasons in a row. This is obviously in the Colombian top flight. But his best moments in Colombia were to come after a stint in Europe. We'll go to the national team. He started playing for Colombia in 1985. And in the Copa America of 1987, that was when he was really noticed by everybody. And he was voted South American Player of the Year a couple of months later, nice. In 1987. He also, in Copa America, he led Colombia as captain to win against the hosts Argentina in Buenos Aires 2-1. Which was quite some result, I can tell you. And they finished third in that tournament.
They had a famous result in Argentina a few years later, didn't they, Colombia? They beat 4 or 5 or something, I remember.
He moved to France and joined Montpellier in 1988. Now, Montpellier were quite an average side.
Was he not at Montpellier for Italia 90? I think he was.
Well, it was that season, actually.
That he moved to Valladolid.
After 90, he moved to Valladolid. But while he was at Montpellier, as I say, they were... Well, I mean, they're not one of the big sides now, particularly. They haven't been... really, but Valderrama, they won the French Cup in 1990, which was quite something for them.
He was in resplendent form throughout that entire year. Mm.
So he had a good time in France, was there for two seasons, and then he went to Spanish club Real Valladolid to join friends René Higuita and Lionel Alvarez.
Yeah. Alvarez
in the well, it depends.
Depends where you're from.
Exactly.
Colombia, yeah, yeah.
And he didn't have a great time in Spain. Unfortunately, it was not a massive success. He didn't play too many matches. But there is quite a famous photo from his time in Spain when he's playing against Real Madrid, and he's marking Michel.
Oh yeah, I remember him.
And
he had a good World Cup as well.
He did,
yeah. For Spain,
scored a nice one against South Korea.
Yeah,
I think it was.
He scored 3 goals. Time.
Yeah, I think that was the hat trick in South Korea. He grabbed Valderrama's bits in sort of Vinnie Jones Gazza fashion, and that's almost like their equivalent photo.
So very, very good
doing that to the great man. Well, and this was obviously after 1990 World Cup, which of course he played in with Colombia, which is, I think, where we all saw him first.
They got knocked out in the second round to Cameroon, I think.
To Cameroon, of course, we profiled that, that team.
But he had,
he
had a good World Cup.
That's right, they're in the second round.
Got a few goals.
I think he scored just the one, actually.
Oh, did he? Okay. Oh, it was quite a long range one to the bottom corner.
Yeah, against the United Arab Emirates.
That's right, yeah.
But that Colombian side was decent, and I mean, we talked about the Colombian side when the Higuita profile.
That's Freddy Rincon as well. Yeah. He was a good player.
That's right. There was one of my favourite... I'd go as far as to say probably one of my favourite moments from a World Cup. I might have mentioned this on the Higuita profile. Forgive me if I have. But it's worth mentioning again when they were 1-0 down to West Germany, who, of course, went on and won the tournament. Yeah. And I think only England weren't beaten by them over, obviously, in penalties. But, you know, but well, apart from England, it was Colombia as well. They were 1-0 down. Litbarski scored in the 88th minute, and Colombia needed a point to go through that group.
Yeah.
And it was a beautiful pass from Valderrama to put Rincon through, and he nutmegged the keeper.
That's right,
And at a 90th minute equal. And Valderrama said, not long after the Cameroon game, he said, even though we lost that game, Italia 90 was one of the happiest moments of my career. It was my first World Cup. We'd qualified for the first time in many years, and we gave as good as we get, and even against the eventual winners, Germany.
Hmm.
Lovely stuff.
I remember being really enraptured by Colombia. I thought they were really exotic, like impossibly exotic side, played great football.
Yeah.
And the game in the second phase against Cameroon, where they eventually got knocked out, was a good game as well.
Yeah. Yeah. A good kit as well.
Kind of all over the place. So there's a really famous book called it's called All Played Out. So is it Pete Davis?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's meant to be the best account of Italian 90. I've read a bit of it, and he's talking about the Colombian side at one point. And he says the best way to describe their formation was just 10.
Class.
Nice. But on the Ramo being a tall, sort of rangy player, have his shirt untucked, played the game in the right way.
Clear individual, you know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, he wasn't that tall. I think the hair kind of pumped it up a bit. He was kind of an average
height, was he? Yeah, okay, yeah. In my head, he's massive.
Yeah, that's right.
Big personality.
That makes me enjoy it more.
Let's not forget the moustache.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. We're rude bullet, sort of.
How could we?
Well, after he left Valladolid, he returned to Colombia. and joined Independiente Medellin.
Is that your Colombian side, are they, Marcus?
They're not. I'm
not check the league table.
I'm open for a Colombian side. I want to say Millonarios for obvious reasons, because you know Rene and Valderrama played. Rene Higuita and Valderrama played. But we'll have to check on the Colombian scene.
Maybe Colombian listeners can email in, putting their club forward.
That's right. I'm open and a shirt as well. Send it through.
Oh, what about the Colombian guy in the sandwich shop we sometimes see?
Oh yeah, we'll ask him.
Yeah, he supports Millonarios, doesn't he? He told us.
Oh, he did. Well,
is that yours?
Does he sell Millonarios shop red in his shop?
Oh, good. We're going to have to tap him up.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he supports Millonarios, I think.
Okay, well, definitely.
That's how the Rumble get their information.
Men in sandwich shop.
Yeah, my soul says that. In 93, he moved to Atletico Junior, and this is when he had a bit of success in the Colombian league. He played 82 matches for them, and he won the Colombian championships in 93 and 95. Mm. And in 93, he was voted South American Player of the Year again.
Cool.
Second time.
6 years apart, though. That's got an assessment to a player.
Yeah. Very much so. In between those championship wins, of course, World Cup 94.
Mm. Yeah. That was some team they had as well. Because Pelé tipped them to win it, didn't he? Yeah. Which obviously we all know what Pelé's word means.
But well, they were one of the favourites.
Which is when they thought about packing up and going home.
Yeah.
I think also it was because Brazil weren't playing particularly pleasant football.
Yeah.
And Colombia were kind of like a very skillful team.
Oh, the Brazilian 82 side that didn't actually win anything is much more highly regarded in Brazil than the 94 side.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they weren't a great team to watch and stuff.
Yeah,
So players like Espria and Rincon, obviously Valderrama.
I mean, he did say, Carlos Valderrama, he said, "We had a generation of great players who are still recognised around the world today, and that makes me feel very proud. Unfortunately, we didn't quite manage to get the results everyone said we would."
They underachieved, didn't they, considerably?
Well, he said, "All the same, we really enjoyed ourselves on the pitch." That's nice to hear.
Yeah.
It's not good enough. I'm only joking.
Good.
Classic Portsmouth winner's attitude.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not apologising for where I'm from, Pete. It's ingrained in us in a very early age.
From birth, I think, actually. In 1996, he went to the New American League, which was previously known as...
Nazzle.
Yes, it was, James.
You're talking about Nzzle.
That's it. And he was one of the big boys, obviously, to go there, along with Jorge Campos. Mm. Roberto Donadoni.
Oh, Donadoni went, did he?
I forgot he went there.
I remember him at the 94 World Cup.
Yeah, well, he went to the Tampa Bay Mutiny, and after 2 years, they can't get a lot done.
Not imagine then. No, not a chance.
And after 2 years, he went to the Miami Fusion. And of course, France 98 as well. He went to Fusion in 98, and he was at France 98.
He was old by then.
Well, he was getting on a bit. Still scored a few goals in the qualifying rounds to get them there. But the French IRS didn't want to let him play at the tournament.
Right.
Because there was some... There was some little complications in payments or
a
something.
A Maradona-esque tax inquiry?
Well, I mean, a South American playing in Europe, is that so outrageous? there was some little dodgy stuff going on there to do with money and one thing and another. And of course,
know you've got something in your head.
And of course, it was in France, the tournament, but of course, he did play. And his last game was against England when they lost 2-0.
Sorry, I've cheapened it.
I think so. And of course, as we said earlier, that 111 caps, which is the record, but national team career from 85 to 98.
I'd love to see a Valderrama cap.
Yeah. Would you?
It's a big one.
Made out of his hair.
No.
Wouldn't work. Wouldn't really work.
No, it wouldn't work.
Don't wear it in the rain.
No.
Like a bin bag.
In 98, he played one more year in Miami, and then 99, he went back to Tampa Bay. He ended up playing for the Rapids, the Colorado Rapids, until 2004. And he hung up
old. His... This is old one. Yeah. He was 43 years old.
He hung up his shoes at the age of 43.
Yeah. His shoes?
And,
he didn't even walk anywhere. Yeah.
Slippers. He hung up his shoes because his boots were fused to him.
And the shoes he almost certainly got on the back of one of those Sunday magazines that old people wear with the Velcro.
A characteristic slip of the tongue by myself, I think we'll all agree. But 22 years his career was. But also he was the MLS, I think this is... he was the Mills' second all-time leader in assists.
Oh, nice.
114.
D-Beck.
Well,
he's on his way.
He is indeed. He had a farewell game in February 2004 in front of 56,000 people. And there was a few names that played.
Oh, there. Pray tell.
Faustino Asprilla.
Nice.
Ivan Zamorano. Enzo Francescoli.
Oh, yeah.
Remember the Uruguayan forward?
Yeah. Zidane's named his son after him.
Yeah.
Zidane's favourite ever player.
That's right. Yeah. I said Luis Chilavert. Jose Luis Chilavert, the Paraguayan goalkeeper, also in the Dean Winners Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And El Diego Maradona.
Oh, there he is. He's not going to miss a party, is he?
He can be at many at once.
Yeah.
The game ended 3-1, of course. Valderrama scored one, didn't he? Yeah,
they always make sure that happens.
That's right. Valderrama, he was assistant coach with Atletico Junior, which was his previous team in Colombia. And in a crucial match one season against America, the team lost 3-1, but when they were 1-0 up, there was a penalty awarded against Junior. And Valderrama was incensed. And he
didn't pull out a gun, did he?
He pulled out a banknote.
Almost as bad. Outrageous behaviour.
And he waved it at the referee, suggesting that he'd been bribed to make the decision.
Or was he actually offering money to say that?
That's a foul, right?
Yeah.
I've
only got five on me. All right, it's really doing. It's a football game.
Well, he's still involved in the game of football, and he runs an academy in the Colombian city of Barranquilla, which is where he's from.
I love it when players do that.
Yeah,
very much so. Until very recently, actually, he was one of the faces of the MLS in the United States, giving MLS soccer training clinics all over the country.
Oh, that's nice.
Now, there's a little word around that apparently he's waiting patiently for an opportunity to fulfil his dream of taking charge of the Colombian national team.
I'd like to see that. I already automatically endorse it.
Yeah.
Do you think he's been taking tips from Diego?
Well, can you imagine,
just
like, all the old players?
Just wait patiently and everything will come to you.
Yeah.
That's right, yeah. Well, he said...
That's how I behave, isn't it?
He said, although I've never managed a team, I am a coach. If you really want to achieve major things as a coach, it's only natural you should want to manage your country. I don't want to upset anyone, but if they offered me the job, I'd take it.
Lovely stuff.
Of course he would.
Yeah.
This is Diego all over again.
Yeah.
And we've got to mention the huge bronze statue outside the Union Magdalena Stadium.
It's the one that he cleans himself.
Well, that was, it was rumoured.
Yeah, there was
some
rumour.
We mentioned that ages ago on the show.
Yeah. He just runs round it.
Yeah. Cleaned it with his hair.
That's
isn't
right,
it like massive, though? It's about 15 feet tall, isn't it? Something like that.
I think it's a big one. Yeah.
Bigger than the Jesus in Brazil.
He's up a big mountain. Yeah.
So it raise you, Jesus.
Valderrama.
I shall end with a quote. He said, "Good things are worth waiting for." People ask me what I mean by that, and I always say that although I would have liked to have won the World Cup, I can't be too hard on myself. You should only worry when you don't get the chance to reach certain goals. The fact is, though, my teammates and I had the chance, not once, but three times. Now I'm waiting for another opportunity, but this time as the coach of Colombia.
Oh.
Ladies and gentlemen, Carlos Valderrama.
On the door.
That's right. Yeah. Lords and ladies, that is the end of the show for this week. I hope you've had a wonderful experience. If you'd like to get in touch with us, the email address is podcast@thefootballramble.com, and get yourselves on the website for all the blogs and all the ramble tubes and all the wonderful bits and pieces, which is thefootballramble.com. I got there in the end. Betway predictions, gentlemen.
I have gone for Chelsea to beat Villa because I think they're going to sort of tighten it up again.
They've got to win sooner or later.
Pete, what are you going for?
I've gone for Barcelona away to Mallorca, draw.
Ooh.
So I don't think
Mallorca's home form is phenomenal.
Yeah.
I've gone for Arsenal to win away. So
who are they playing?
They're away to Birmingham, I believe, aren't
they? Yes, they are.
And I just think they're really hungry for the title, so I'm going to go for them. Yeah.
Well, I'm going for Sevilla to win against Therese. Roma to win in Bologna. And Chelsea, Aston Villa to be a draw.
A multinational treble.
I'm going all out.
I pitted against each other.
Treble.
If you want to bet with us or against us, it's betway.com/thefootballramble.
He's right.
Wicked.
Say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, James or Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Lukey.
Goodbye.
We're all off to clean Carlos Valderrama's statue. Cheers.
happens.
Do you know what? I didn't think that when I was writing it all down.
Oh, come on, let's not cheapen it. Let's move on.
Yeah.
Don't drink water when you're laughing. Should know better. I know what the French Revolution was. I don't know, to not drink water when I'm laughing.
He started to... Sorry. I knew you were about to go.
Sorry, Pete.
Stop it.
Well, I'm not doing anything. I'm just sitting here.
I know what you're about to
do. Look at me and look at that.
Right.
Come on now. I've got to get home. So...
For Deportivo, he finished...
Just don't think about it.
Right,
we're on. Come on. For Deportivo, he finished second in two seasons running.
Fuck's sake.
You can't say that because you...
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Yeah.